The alarm over this fast-acting, drug-resistant strain of HIV has spread in the last week, even though health officials in New York have described only one patient with it. Commentator Joe Wright spent 10 years working as an HIV prevention educator before medical school, and to him, the announcement of this new case feels more familiar than he'd like to admit.
The Supervirus press conference was about fear. And it also seems to have been held with the idea that pushing up our fear of HIV could get people at risk to work harder to stay safe. The scientists and public health doctors were afraid, they told the press, afraid that this case of multidrug-resistant virus might be the first of many, afraid that things would only get worse. More than one veteran AIDS doctor shuddered to remember the days when we didn't have medicines to fight HIV, the days when the hospital beds were full of people without immune systems, dying the horrifying death of unmanaged AIDS. In the early 1980s, that kind of death transformed the gay community. In my old city of San Francisco, the heroic gay nurse, Bobby Campbell, took pictures of his Kaposi sarcoma lesions and posted them up in the window of a pharmacy in the city's gay neighborhood. He took the fear of the whole community and brought it out into the open for everyone to look at, and then he insisted that people should mobilize to do something about it. When the New York public health officials told the story of this recent case of resistant HIV, some other scientists publicly objected, saying that a story of one man does not make an epidemic of supervirus. It might be a quirk of the man's genetics that his story turned out the way it has. Other people said that the public health officials were using scare tactics that might backfire if a larger disaster doesn't follow. No one wants to be the Tom Ridge of the AIDS epidemic, issuing orange alerts and yellow alerts and red alerts until people stop paying attention. In Bobby Campbell's time, fear helped change men's behaviors dramatically, but it wasn't just fear. It's easy to forget in these days of Will and Grace and Queer Eye for the Straight Guy that standing up for the lives of gay men was a radical act in those days. When Bobby Campbell made himself a poster boy in those early days, he made his own fear into an act of generosity. The man with the supervirus is now a stand-in for every imagined drugged-up, internet-cruising, slutting-around gay man as if he's the object lesson of those doomed to die for sin. But really, those of us who know the case from press conferences don't know much about him. We do know the supervirus press conference depended entirely on his willingness to tell his story. Whether he helped the scientists reluctantly or eagerly, he never had to help. I can be angry with people who don't seem to notice or care that their sexual behavior affects other people, but I can also honor the way this man is changing the meaning of his story. If men taking crystal meth and having unprotected sex are to learn anything from this man's story, it shouldn't be his fear. It should be his act of love. He made his fear into a political and medical gift. Now it's up to the rest of us to follow that example. We must now make our fear of the supervirus into something useful.
Joe Wright is in his third year at Harvard Medical School.